Hello, Hopeful. I'm Roger Corville, and this is For the Hope's Daily Audio Bible. Here, we read through the scriptures conversationally, talk about the truth claims of Christianity, and learn to fall more in love with Jesus and the people in His world.
Welcome.
How we handle what belongs to another determines whether or not we can be trusted with what we could become on our own. My friends, faithful stewardship in earthly matters reveals our fitness for eternal responsibilities. Welcome back to today's little bit of our journey through the Bible in a year, reading through every word of God's self-revelation and considering our own life and work stories in light of that. And hey, if you're listening to this right here and now, today is October 22nd, 2025. Which is exactly 7 months after I started a sabbatical. So you might just be plowing along and going episode 2537, episode 2538, and that's okay. That's on purpose, actually, but just know there's been a chunk of time that has passed. Yesterday, we saw how God organizes His people for purpose and celebrates restoration. Today, we'll explore how faithful management of current responsibilities prepares us for greater trust. Again, if our theme is out there today, faithful stewardship in earthly matters reveals our fitness for eternal responsibilities. Today, we pick up our New Testament segment in Luke chapter 16. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. So he called the manager in and asked, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do since my manager is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from management, people will welcome me into their homes.' So he summoned each one of his master's debtors and said, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he asked that of the first one, and the first one answered, 100 measures of olive oil.' 'Take your invoice,' he told him. 'Sit down quickly and write 50. Next, he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' The man answered, 100 measures of wheat. He told him, 'Take your invoice and write 80. The master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into their eternal dwellings. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Okay, I got to just pause. Only because, you know, if you go back far enough, everybody read the King James, and you might remember that last line there as, "You can't serve both God and mammon." And I always thought it was kind of curious that the translators 300-400 years ago would go, we don't know what this is or how to describe it, so we'll just transliterate it and call it mammon. You can't serve both God and mammon. And that's because the idea there is bigger than just money, right? So if we think about this like a financier, we're on the wrong path. In fact, it just comes to mind because at the end of Acts chapter 4 and early part of Acts chapter 5, one of the things that you see is this contrast between like the faithful church where everybody like sells their stuff and comes together, and it's a heart level issue. They're taking care of each other, as opposed to Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a piece of property and then lied about how much they actually sold it for. You can't serve both God and mammon. Could be money, could be property. It could be just the way that you conduct services, meaning the way you render service if you're like in a service business. You with me? All right, continuing. Promise I'll try to keep that light today, but it's nice to be back in front of the microphone with you. Picking up in chapter 14, or verse 14. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and scoffing at him. And he told them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly admired by people is revolting in God's sight. The law and the prophets were until John, and since then, the good news of the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, and everyone is urgently invited to enter it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to drop out. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and everyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Now there was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was lying at his gate. Lazarus longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus by his side. "Father Abraham," he called out, "have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this flame." "Son," Abraham said, "remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things. But now he is confronted here while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, and neither can those from there cross over to us." "Father," he said, then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, to warn them, so that they won't also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." But Abraham told him, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." All right, my friends, that gets us up through chapter 16. And I mean, I just got to say that to me is one of the most mind-blowing chapters. Because what did Jesus say, right? That's all red words, right? And here's Jesus who goes, in a sense, the entirety of the scriptures that you have available to you, which for us would be the Old Testament, speak to me and who I am and the values that I would have you live by. And of course, they're like, well, if you're not convinced by the book of Numbers, well, then you're not going to be convinced by someone rising from the dead, because they're one and the same, so to speak. So with that, let's get to our Old Testament segment. And I chose that because we pick up in Numbers at chapter 3. These are the family records of Aaron and Moses at the time the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of Aaron's sons, Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of Aaron's sons, the anointed priests who were ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died in the Lord's presence when they presented unauthorized fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no sons. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests under the direction of Aaron their father. The Lord spoke to Moses. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them to the priest Aaron to assist him. They are to perform duties for him and the entire community before the tent of meeting by attending to the service of all the tabernacle. They are to take care of all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and perform duties for the Israelites by attending to the service of the tabernacle. Assign the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They have been assigned exclusively to him from the Israelites. And you are to appoint Aaron and his sons to carry out their priestly responsibilities, but any unauthorized person who comes near the sanctuary is to be put to death. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have taken the Levites from the Israelites in place of every firstborn Israelite from the womb. The Levites belong to me, because every firstborn belongs to me. At the time I struck down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated every firstborn in Israel to myself, both man and animal. They are mine. I am the Lord." The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Register the Levites by their ancestral families and their clans. You are to register every male 1 month old or more. And so Moses registered them in obedience to the Lord as he had been commanded. These were the sons of Levi's by name, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the names of Gershon's sons by their clans, Libni and Shimei. Kohath's sons by their clans were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. Merari's sons by their clans were Mahli and Mushi. These were the Levite clans by their ancestral families. The Libnite clan and the Shimeite clan came from Gershon. These were the Gershonite clans. Those registered, counting every male 1 month old or more, numbered 7,500, and the Gershonite clans camped behind the tabernacle on the west side, and the leader of the Gershonite families was Eliasaph, son of Lael. The Gershonite duties at the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle, its tent, its covering, the screen for the entrance to the tent of meeting, the hangings of the courtyard, the screen of the entrance to the courtyard that surrounds the tabernacle and the altar, and the tent ropes, and all the work related to these. The Amramite clan and the Izrahite clan, the Hebronite clan, and the Uzielite clan came from Kohath, and these were the Kohathites. Counting every male 1 month old or more, there were 8,600 responsible for the duties of the sanctuary. The clans of the Kohathites camped on the south side of the tabernacle, and the leader of the families of the Kohathite clans was Elizaphan, son of Uziel. Their duties involved the ark, the table, the lampstands, the altars, the sanctuary utensils that were used with these, and the screen, and all the work relating to them. The chief of the Levite leaders was Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest. He had oversight of those responsible for the duties of the sanctuary. The Mahlite clan and the Mushite clan came from Merari, and these were the Merari clans, or Merarite clans. Those registered, counting every male 1 month old or more, was 6,200, and the leader was Zuriel, son of Abihail, and they camped on the north side of the tabernacle. The assigned duties of them involved the tabernacle's supports, crossbars, pillars, bases, and its equipment, all the work related to these, in addition to the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes. Moses, Aaron, and his sons, who performed the duties of the sanctuary as a service on behalf of the Israelites, camped in front of the tabernacle on the east, in front of the tabernacle or the tent of meeting toward the sunrise. Any unauthorized person who came near it was to be put to death. The total number of all the Levite males 1 month old or more that Moses and Aaron registered by their clans at the Lord's command was 22,000. My friends, I know that kind of stuff sounds weird, but it demonstrates God's order, right? So we don't run the church like a business, but we have to have organization. Continuing, and I will try to verbally skim some of the less exciting stuff. The Lord told Moses, register every firstborn male of the Israelites, 1 month old or more, and list their names. You are to take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, in place of every firstborn among the Israelites, and the Levites' cattle, in place of every firstborn among the Israelites' cattle. So Moses registered every firstborn among the Israelites as the number, as the Lord had told him, and the total number of firstborn males, 1 month old or more, was 22,273. Now the Lord spoke to Moses again. Take the Levites in place of every firstborn among the Israelites, and the Levites' cattle in place of their cattle. The Levites belong to me. I am the Lord. As the redemption price for the 273 firstborn Israelites who outnumber the Levites, collect 5 shekels for each person according to the sanctuary shekel, 20 gerahs to the shekel. Give the silver to Aaron and his sons as the redemption price for those who are in excess among the Israelites. So Moses collected the redemption amount from those in excess of the ones redeemed by the Israelites. He collected the silver from the firstborn Israelites, 1,365 shekels measured by the standard sanctuary shekel, of course, and he gave the redemption silver to Aaron and his sons in obedience to the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Okay, one more chapter regarding organization of the Levites for worship. This is the duties of the Kohathites. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, among the Levites, take a census of the Kohathites by their clans and their ancestral families, men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified to do the work at the tent of meeting. The service of the Kohathites at the tent of meeting concerns the most holy objects. Whenever the camp is about to move on, Aaron and his sons are to go in, take down the screening curtain, and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. They're to place over this covering one with fine leather, spread a solid blue cloth on top, and insert its poles. They're to spread a blue cloth over the table of the presence and place the plates and cups on it, as well as the bowls and pitchers for the drink offering. The regular bread offering is to be on it. They are to spread a scarlet cloth over them, cover them with a covering made of fine leather, and insert the poles into the table. Sounds like a training or operational manual, doesn't it? Mm-hmm, it is. They are to take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand used for light with its lamp snuffers and fire pans, as well as its jars of oil by which they service it. Then they are to place it with all its utensils inside a covering made of fine leather and put them on the carrying frame. They are to spread a blue cloth over the gold altar, covering it with covering made of fine leather, and insert the poles. They're to take the serving utensils they use in the sanctuary and place them in a blue cloth, covering them with a covering of fine leather, and put them on a carrying frame. And they are to remove the ashes from the bronze altar, spread a purple cloth over it, place all the equipment on it that they use in serving, the fire pans, meat forks, shovels, and basins, all the equipment of the altar, and they are to spread a covering made of fine leather over it and insert its poles. Aaron and his sons are to finish covering the holy objects and all their equipment whenever the camp is to move on. That's the whole point here, is this thing is both symbolic of God's presence, where the legal business happens, and it's got to be portable, right? We're march into the promised land. The Kohathites will come and carry them, but they are not to touch the holy objects or they will die. These are the transportation duties of the Kohathites regarding the tent of meeting. Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has oversight of the lamp oil, the fragrant incense, the daily grain offering, and the anointing oil. He has oversight of the entire tabernacle and everything in it, the holy objects and their utensils. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, do not allow the Kohathite tribal clans to be wiped out from the Levites. Do this for them so that they will live and not die when they come near the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons are to go in and assign each man his task and transportation duties. The Kohathites are not to go in and look at the most holy objects, as they are covered or they will die. The Gershonites. The Lord spoke to Moses, take a census of the Gershonites also by their ancestral families and clans. Register men from 30 years old to 50 who have qualified to perform service and to do work at the tent of meeting. This is the service of the Gershonite clans regarding work and transportation duties. They are to transport the tabernacle curtains, the tent of meeting with its covering and the covering made of fine leather on top of it, the screen for the entrance to the tent of meeting, the hangings of the courtyard, the screen for the entrance at the gate of the courtyard that surrounds the tabernacle and the altar, along with their ropes and all the equipment for their service, they will carry out everything that needs to be done with these items. All the service of the Gershonites, all their transportation duties, and all their other work is to be done at the command of Aaron and his sons. You are to assign them and all that they are responsible to carry. This is the service of the Gershonite clans at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and their duties will be under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. As for the Merarites, you are to register them by their ancestral clans and their ancestral families. Register men from 30 years old to 50 years old, everyone who is qualified to do the work of the tent of meeting. This is what they are responsible to carry as their whole, as the whole of their service at the entrance to the at the tent of meeting, the supports of the tabernacle with its crossbars, pillars, and bases, the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes, including all their equipment and all the work related to them. You are to assign by name the items that they are responsible to carry. This is the service of the Merarite clans regarding all their work at the tent of meeting under the direction of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. All right, last little bit, and then we'll close out with some Proverbs. So Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of the community registered the Kohathites by their clans and their ancestral families, men from 30 to 50 years old, everyone who was qualified, and this was 2,750 of them. These were the registered men of the Kohathite clans, everyone who could serve at the tent of meeting. Moses and Aaron registered them at the Lord's command through Moses. The Gershonites were registered by their clans and families, same kind of pattern, 2,630 of them. And at the Lord's command, Moses and Aaron registered everyone who could serve at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The men from the Merarite clans, that's 3,200 of them. Moses and Aaron registered them at the Lord's command through Moses. Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel registered all the Levites by their clans and their ancestral families, 30 to 50 years old, 8,580 of them. And at the Lord's command, they were registered under the direction of Moses, each one according to his work and transportation duty, and his assignment was as the Lord commanded Moses. And that's Numbers 3 and 4. Sorry, we're running just a smidge long, but that was because Roger was a diarrhea mouth. Proverbs 15, 1-5. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of fools blurts out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible. My friends, from stewardship principles like we heard about, to even sacred service, right? We understand that faithful stewardship in earthly matters reveals our fitness for eternal responsibilities. I love you, my friends. Amen. Amen.